without this kind of foundation, it would just be a number of isolated researchers scattered around the country doing different things. And having the Focused Ultrasound Foundation provides a critical mass and one place for all of this research to sort of come together and follow a route with everyone working together.
Welcome to Curing with Sound, a podcast presented by the Focus Ultrasound Foundation. I'm your host, Allison Preston-Smith. In honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we are highlighting groundbreaking research using focus ultrasound in breast cancer treatment. Here's Dr. Suzanne LeBlanc, Director of Clinical Relationships at the Focus Ultrasound Foundation, in conversation with Dr. Gregory Zarnotta of Sunnybrook Research Institute in Toronto, Canada.
Hi, my name is Dr. Suzanne LeBlanc, and I'm the Director of Clinical Relationships at the Focused Ultrasound Foundation. Today, in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we are speaking with Dr. Gregory Zarnotta from the Sunnybrook Research Institute in Toronto, Canada. Dr. Zarnotta recently published results from a phase one clinical trial using focused ultrasound-stimulated microbubbles to improve radiotherapy in patients with breast cancer. Dr. Zarnotta's research interests include studies in biochemistry, chromatin biology, biophysics, medicine, and oncology. In addition to being a senior scientist in physical sciences, he is an MD in the Department of Radiation Oncology with applied research in breast cancer patients. As part of this concentration, he is conducting research using ultrasound imaging and spectroscopy at conventional and high frequencies to detect cell death in response to chemotherapy. In the work he is discussing today, he is using focused ultrasound to enhance the effects of radiation in breast cancer research. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Zarnotta, and let's find out more about you and your journey.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here and to have an opportunity to discuss the work that we've been doing that's sponsored by the FUS Foundation.
You know, I think the listeners would be interested in learning what led to your interest in the medical field and the research field, and why a physician scientist?
I sort of took a circuitous route into medicine, where I started off doing my PhD, and that was actually at the Ontario Cancer Institute in the Princess Margaret Hospital. And there I was actually not involved in ultrasound research and not involved in anything oncologic, but just studying fundamental aspects of chromosome structure and nucleosome biology and how chromatin works. But it was in a cancer environment in the middle of what was then Canada's largest cancer research program and cancer treatment facility. And the initial interest in ultrasound was piqued actually by developing work in ultrasound imaging that led to the ability to detect cell death. And then I ended up, because of the interest in oncology, going into medicine, and then return back to ultrasound research once I was a radiation oncologist, both on the imaging side, and then got interested in ultrasound therapy, which has led to the work that we're discussing today.
Well, it seems like everything just kind of fell in line there. But when you went from the diagnostic imaging to the therapeutic treatment with focused ultrasound, how did you first learn about focused ultrasound, and when did the light bulb go off that you thought it could be used in combination with your practice?
So there was a bit of ultrasound research being done, mainly for diagnostic purposes in Toronto. And sort of the interest in focused ultrasound happened around the same time that Kalervo Hiddinen, who has a great deal of depth and breadth of knowledge in focused ultrasound, joined Toronto, which was coincidental. But around the same time, there was interesting work published in the radiation field showing that blood vessel cell death can be initiated by radiation damage to the cell membrane, and that the destruction of tumors had nothing to do with DNA breaks in the cell nucleus, but that it could all be potentially driven by DNA damage to the cell's membrane. That was rather controversial, but around that same time, sort of being familiar with work done with microbubbles and people trying to use microbubbles to permeate the vasculature for drug delivery, we hypothesized that, well, hold on, if there's a cell sensitization pathway that's being stimulated by radiation damage to the cell membrane, could we use focus ultrasound along with microbubbles to damage cell membranes and drive that same level of response? And that's what led to our first set of experiments, which probably started in around 2008, 2009, the first publication being in 2012 in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which actually demonstrated that indeed the two modalities can be synergistic in terms of driving cell death and causing tumor cell destruction with what really amounted to as an unprecedented level of radiation enhancement. Most chemical sensitizing agents only enhance radiation by a couple percent, whereas here, by destroying the blood vessels with focused ultrasound and using microbubbles, we were able to enhance radiation effects 40 to 60 times. So quite a striking response. And by way of history, we spent probably the next 5 years working out the biochemical pathways in cells that are linked to microbubbles impinging on the cell membrane and perturbing it. And then the 5 years after that also coincided with preclinical research. And then it's only in the last 2 years that we've started the translation of the work into humans after working out the biochemical pathways as well as optimizing the parameters needed in order to translate the work into patients.
Yeah, so it takes a long time and a lot of perseverance to figure out all those mechanisms of action in order to make sure that procedures work synergistically well together. So kudos to you and your team for doing that. So, you know, radiation therapy over the years has become more targeted to maximize efficacy and decrease side effects. So how does the focused ultrasound procedure add to this increased precision and ability to hopefully improve efficacy and decrease side effects?
So even though radiation oncology has moved to very conformal and stereotactic, very precise and accurate treatments, as you stated, the doses used are still pretty much the same thing. The tissues in the human body can only tolerate so much radiation. We're able to attain even more cell death without damaging structures with radiation and not being limited by a maximum radiation dose, but enhancing the effects of radiotherapy. And even though radiation has become more precise, you're still limited by important structures such as organs such as the heart or the lungs or the spinal cord that limit the amounts of radiation that you can give. And so now we're able to potentiate doses that are otherwise limited by using focused ultrasound. And of course, the conformality of focused ultrasound far exceeds that of even radiation. With radiotherapy, at best, you have penumbras of sort of the blurry areas where the radiation dose dies off of several millimeters. With focused ultrasound, that's microns. So we can still be very precise and enhance radiation effects. And what we've sort of seen in our phase one study is that even patients who received palliative doses of radiation that would have not otherwise been able to control tumor, when combined with focused ultrasound, resulted in complete responses in those patients with their tumors that we targeted with radiation and focused ultrasound, obtaining local control rates of 90%, extending out to almost 2 to 3 years' time.
Wow, so that's some fascinating outcomes from that phase one clinical trial. Can you provide a broader overview of that phase one clinical trial and the overall results?
Sure. So that phase one clinical trial involved women with breast cancer that were receiving radiation. So they may have been patients who were ineligible for surgery or who had breast cancer recurrences in the chest wall locally or could have had metastatic deposits of breast cancer in the chest wall, thorax, or other parts of their body that were being treated with radiotherapy. We combined that with 2 to 3 sessions of focused ultrasound, and most women had 5 to 10 days of radiation and doses anywhere from 2,000 centigrade, which is a palliative dose, to 3,500 centigrade, which is a sort of a curative dose. And they received DEFINITY microbubbles along with the focused ultrasound. And the focused ultrasound here that we speak of wasn't HIFU. It was what we refer to as LOFU, so low-powered focused ultrasound, enough just to oscillate and burst microbubbles, just like a diagnostic ultrasound scanner does. But due to it being focused ultrasound, we could conform the ultrasound beam just to the tumor itself. And so it was low-powered ultrasound, focused on the tumors 2 to 3 times during their radiotherapy. The study involved 20 patients, and 18 of the 20 patients at 1 year had complete responses to the radiotherapy and focused ultrasound, meaning the tumors either disappeared or there was a mass left behind that was completely avascular. So we sort of referred to that as fibrotic replacement, meaning that the tumor that was there was completely replaced by fibrosis or scar tissue and no longer a tumor.
Wow, those are some incredible results. Thank you for conducting that clinical trial. And were there any side effects during the trial?
So none from the focused ultrasound. Patients had responses, had side effects from the radiation as expected, mainly grade 1 sort of dermatitis, which sort of looks like you spent a day out in the sun. Some patients had some blistering and peeling of skin, but that was consistent with the radiation doses that they were receiving. And again, I want to emphasize that even though we used focused ultrasound here, it's low-powered focused ultrasound, and along with bubbles, one doesn't really expect any side effects. And these bubbles are used in diagnostic scans all the time, all over the world, with diagnostic ultrasound scanners with, for the most part, no adverse effects.
Well, I'd like to get a little personal, if you don't mind. So I'm a breast cancer survivor, and I had surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation therapy. And I know full well the effects of the radiation therapy, having had the sunburn and the blistering. And it's very uncomfortable. And after you've been through all the other treatments, it's, you know, cumbersome, to say the least. So do you think in the future that combining the radiation therapy with the focused ultrasound microbubbles could decrease the occurrence of the adverse events from the radiation therapy because you could use a lower dose?
Yeah, so it's certainly possible to do that. We aren't investigating that at this time because in order to have Health Canada, or which is the equivalent of the American FDA approval, we did not wish to deviate from standard of care. And there was still enough room to measure, for the phase 1 study, safety and efficacy, but also to look for improvements in outcomes, because many of these patients receive palliative doses of radiotherapy that are not intended to cure. And it certainly seems that the focused ultrasound is pushing that over into a curative realm. Just anecdotally, we also conducted a phase 1 study using focused ultrasound and these microbubbles in head and neck cancer patients. And there, something curious happened in that several patients had multiple large tumors in their head and neck that couldn't be removed surgically, and they were receiving palliative radiotherapy here. And in about 2 of the 13 patients, they also had widespread metastatic disease. And after the focused ultrasound therapy, their widespread metastases also disappeared. And so they may have been on immunotherapy for a long time that didn't seem to be working, and that's why they were referred for radiotherapy. But it seemed that the focused ultrasound and the radiotherapy sort of activated some sort of response that may have boosted the immunotherapy, resulting in these patients attaining complete cures of metastatic head and neck cancer. And we don't still understand why that happened, but it happened in about 5 to 10% of those patients.
Wow, that's really, really encouraging results. Is that what they call the abscopal effect?
Yes. Yes, precisely.
Yeah, right. That's fantastic. We look forward to hearing some more results from those trials to see if that persists or how we can harness that to our advantage along with focused ultrasound. And, you know, doing a trial like your phase 1 trial is a monumental effort, right, to get something from bench to bedside, from all your preclinical research to your clinical research. It's a very collaborative effort from engineers to oncologists. And what was it like to work with your team, and how did you make it happen, and what machines did you use?
So I'm quite lucky that the laboratory I have is staffed by about 20 wonderful people. Half of them are involved in sort of the ultrasound imaging studies, and the other half are involved in the focused ultrasound work. They're actually quite diverse themselves. And so there are a couple of people who are biologists in the laboratory working on this. There's computer scientists that are also part of the team, and engineers. And then, of course, there's a number of physicians as well that are directly involved in the research.
That's fantastic. So now that you finished the phase one trial, can you tell us about your upcoming trial with which the Focused Ultrasound Foundation is proud to help support?
So we've moved on to the next step of this, which is newer instrumentation, along with a larger phase two study. But in terms of the work that the Focused Ultrasound Foundation is funding, we've obtained a new ultrasound system from Arrayus, which is a Toronto company. That ultrasound system has 6,144 individual ultrasound transducers, all as a composite. So it's actually allowing us to treat patients with large tumors. We were previously limited to a step-and-shoot approach with a maximum beam size of 1.5 centimeters, but many of these patients have large tumors, which may be as large as 10 or 15 centimeters, and this system allows us to very rapidly treat the whole tumor volume in one shot, and so it's making the treatments much easier. And also much faster. The treatments are over in 5 to 10 minutes instead of someone using the previous approach being committed to an hour of lying in an MRI scanner and having these treatments done. So we're able to treat far larger tumors and more complex tumors, which is the majority of these patients with these chest wall recurrences are metastatic breast cancer in their chest wall.
Well, great. The technology seems like it's advancing rapidly. And can you tell us a little bit about whether the focused ultrasound is done before the radiation therapy, at the same time, after?
It's done the same day as their radiation therapy, and patients go on and have their radiation about an hour later. It's the sort of a curious effect in that we know that perhaps even separating the two treatments by up to 6 hours is optimal to allow the biochemical pathways to become activated. But the majority of our preclinical work and our clinical work for pragmatic reasons is done with patients having their focused ultrasound first and then going on to have their radiation.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Can you share some details about that phase two clinical trial with us? How many patients? What is their stage of disease?
Yeah, so the phase two study with the Arrayus device that we're doing involves patients with, again, inoperable breast cancers that are being treated with radiotherapy. And so this may mean patients who have recurrences that are not going to be treated surgically. So the focused ultrasound may be done before they're receiving their chemotherapy, or it may be patients who are receiving chemotherapy and not having a response, or who have had chemotherapy and have had a good response, but there's still residual tumor left behind, and they're receiving focused ultrasound and radiation. And then what we actually plan to do after this is to, we've also started a larger 200-patient study that doesn't involve the Arrayus device. It's based on our first work that was done with the Philips Sonalleve device, but we'll shift the Arrayus device into that study as well once this 30-patient study is done with the Focused Ultrasound Foundation.
And when will these studies start recruiting, or have they already?
So the Focused Ultrasound study with the Arrayus device funded by the FUS Foundation has already started accruing, and I believe there's 7 patients either treated or awaiting treatment in that study. And the larger 200-patient study has also started, and that has a comparable number of patients.
Is this study only open to Canadian citizens, or can non-Canadian citizens apply for it?
it would be open to anyone eligible to have their radiation in Canada. And so that varies from time to time, depending on what the individual hospital policies are in regards to citizens. But if someone has a Canadian doctor here prescribing their radiotherapy, even if they're from out of country, they should be eligible.
Okay, great. Great. We look forward to following the progress on that. Can you talk a little bit about some research you're doing to help detect cell death from the procedures that you're doing? And how can we confirm that we're doing what we want?
So we've developed imaging methods that rely on quantitative ultrasound. So looking at the fundamental raw radio frequency data from an ultrasound transducer before it's converted into an ultrasound image. And so that's work that was developed in Toronto by Michael Kolios and myself, but also relies on background work that was done at the University of Illinois and also at the Riverside Research Institute by a number of people over the years. And so we adapted those methods to detect cell death. And so we've applied those to patients receiving radiation, but primarily the majority of our publications deal with another aspect of cancer therapy, which is chemotherapy. And there we've developed those methods to predict and monitor the responses to chemotherapy. But that sort of cell death response can be used to monitor the effects of focused ultrasound. And a number of our preclinical studies have also done that, where we've used these methods to monitor non-invasively the effects of the focused ultrasound and radiation. That research is also in clinical trial and in patients. So for patients receiving chemotherapy for large breast tumors, they're also being monitored using those quantitative ultrasound measures.
Well, that's fascinating. And can you tell us a little bit about how quickly after, let's say, the radiation therapy and the focused ultrasound treatments, can you start to detect cell death?
As early as 1 week. And those same methods, also interestingly, can actually be used to predict upfront whether patients are going to have a response or not to the particular treatments. But in terms of detecting cell death, 1 week afterwards. In the preclinical work, it's within 24 hours you can begin to see changes in quantitative ultrasound, which are characteristic of cell death. In patients, we validated that out at 1 week. And we've also applied these methods to the patients in the head and neck radiation studies that I alluded to, and should be publishing that shortly.
Oh, we look forward to seeing that publication. And it seems to me, and please help us understand this better, that if you can see the effects of the focused ultrasound enhanced radiosensitization after 1 week, would you then kind of do precision medicine and change the protocol moving forward? So you may not need to deliver radiation to the area that's died within that week, and you could use it for another area and kind of change the procedure as you're going along to maximize efficacy and decrease side effects?
Yeah, that's precisely the idea behind that. We haven't done that in clinical trial yet with radiation, but we have with the chemotherapy, where the quantitative ultrasound results have been provided back to the treating medical oncologist as part of a randomized controlled trial. And the interim analysis of that has just been published this past summer. And there we, in the arm where patients had the quantitative ultrasound conducted and the results were shared with the medical oncologist, in the patients where they intervened, they were able to convert patients who weren't having a response to their chemotherapy to ones that did, either by switching the chemotherapy drug or moving faster to the second phase of the intended chemotherapy, or stopping the chemotherapy and sending patients for surgery and then giving them chemotherapy afterwards. So the whole idea behind that is, as you stated, it is possible to use ultrasound for precision medicine, not only with focused ultrasound to target specific areas, but with ultrasound imaging for feedback, which can be used to adapt treatments.
Oh my God, that leads to so much hope in the future for patients, because many breast cancer patients, as well as other patients suffering from cancer, usually have multiple treatments for their cancer, right? The four pillars of cancer treatment are radiation therapy, surgery, chemotherapy, and immunotherapy. So not only can focused ultrasound help address some of these four pillars individually, but in addition to the therapeutic focused ultrasound, what you're saying is your ability to image the effects of it will play a major role in figuring out that combination of these four pillars of cancer treatment. It seems as though you're just pushing the envelope forward in so many different ways.
Well, Toronto has the, I guess, the good fortune of being designated a focused ultrasound facility through the FUS Foundation, and we have a number of great investigators here. So apart from my laboratory, there's Megan O'Reilly, David Gertz, and Claire Vohedenen's laboratories that are all working on different aspects of and different clinical applications of focused ultrasound. So it's a really good environment up here at Sunnybrook for focused ultrasound research. And we also now are at Sunnybrook, Canada's largest radiation oncology facility, with over, it's close to 15,000 courses of radiation delivered per year, and over 10,000 new patients treated per year.
Wow. Well, you know, thank you for helping so many people. So that's fantastic. So how can our audience keep up with you and your research?
I think the Focused Ultrasound Foundation will be providing updates on the work that they're sponsoring. We also have, there's the Sunnybrook web pages, and some of this is funded through our Terry Fox Program Project Grant in ultrasound and MRI, and it actually has a website which I'll be happy to share. People can see all the publications there as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and share more about this really important research across all cancers, but especially in light of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So I personally thank you, and on behalf of the focused ultrasound community, thank you for your dedication and passion to this area, and we look forward to following your progress.
It's my pleasure, and of course, none of this would happen and without the support of the Focused Ultrasound Foundation, certainly in terms of that new study with the Arrayus device, and it's very important to have a foundation like this to promote what's exciting research in a new field.
This episode of Curing with Sound has been presented by the Focused Ultrasound Foundation. If you would like to learn more about focused ultrasound or the foundation, visit our website at fusfoundation.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter and follow us on social media.